الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى ما بعد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم واما السائل فلا تنهر واما بنعمه ربك فحدث سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. When people have a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes that relationship goes very well, right? You're hitting all the different markers and you feel close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're staying away from the things that we're supposed to stay away from, and you know, things are good. But then sometimes things happen and people slip up, and it happens. It happens to the best of people. And in fact, sometimes, you know, they say that the higher you go, the farther you fall. So sometimes people can actually, the higher that you climb in getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes shaitan becomes that much more sophisticated in the tricks that he will use to misguide that individual. So sometimes people feel like, I've traveled so far on my spiritual journey, so I'm safe. And there is a certain degree of safety. There is a qawl of the Sufiya, the Al-Fani La Yurad, that the person who's achieves the state of fana in the spiritual realm, he's not returned back to the other state. And there's a certain easy way to explain to that is that there's spiritual plateaus. That person starts going up, 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 and then you reach a plateau. And then you climb again, and then you reach another plateau. And it's usually beyond the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when a person is at a particular plateau to cast them or allow them to slip down into where they were before. So it's unusual to find an individual, for example, who's been praying 5 times a day for 30 years, all of a sudden one day he says, I'm not praying. Right? It's not. It doesn't happen. But that's not to say that slip-ups can't occur and do not occur. And, you know, I was speaking with a very well-known scholar, and he was mentioning, you know, about the type of fitna of shaitan. You know, a person, and he gave me the story of a very righteous person who just one day is like, I don't want to get up. I don't want to pray. For no good reason, right? And sometimes people come to you and they give you these type of situations, and you're trying to pinpoint it spiritually. It's like, it's not like you did anything. It's not like anything changed. It's not like you're stressed. It's not like you're depressed. Nothing happened. It was just a normal day. But all of this, out of the clear blue sky, a person says like, yeah, man, I don't feel like praying. You know? And even more, scary example of that is, and that is a person saying, well, I just don't feel like Islam today, right? It can happen. I don't know what I'm doing with my life, and I just want to live normally. And a person can just go off in a second. A person who lived 40 years of their life in Islam, in a second, right, goes to kufr. And in that situation, you know, that person was not to pray. Alhamdulillah, Allah bless his wife. You know, she's like, you got to pray, time is going. Somehow got him out of bed and got him to make wudu. And, you know, he prayed his salah. And then afterwards, you know, he's just like, what was I thinking? But when he was telling me that story, the thing that really struck me is that, you know, how small the space is between righteousness and misguidance. It's just like we think that it's a big abyss and it's a big chasm and it's so far away. But for any one of us, it's just like a hairline. Right? And just one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just removes that hairline and you just fall on the other side. And it happens, right? People who sometimes have been, you know, they're memorizing Quran, they're doing all this, and then they do something like really, really bad. And, you know, I get those emails and those phone calls. And at that time, sometimes you don't get the emails or the phone calls because people feel so embarrassed. Like, how could I do something so bad when I'm, you know, living this type of life that they feel shy to even, you know, reach out for help, which is a big mistake. But regardless, I mean, it shows how the emotions which are tied up in that. And one of the mistakes that people sometimes realize that make is that when they're in that situation, they, out of their sense of piety, they feel so bad about the situation, and they feel like, I've messed up so bad with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what they lose sight of is that sometimes when you're at your lowest, you're actually closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than when you're at your best. In terms of closer to His mercy. And I can give you an example. And the reason for this is, like, look, if a person is always performing, right? So you have a kid who, like, say you're training an athlete, right? And he shoots at 80% from the free throw line, right? So he doesn't miss, right? And if you miss one free throw, right, then you're gonna get. You're like, what are you doing, right? And you're shooting 60%. What are you need to, you're tough on them because your expectations of them are like you should be performing at this level, right? But say there's a person, you know, who comes from overseas, they don't even know how to hold a basketball properly, right? And somehow, I mean, I still remember when I used to be young, I was a really weakly young child, right? I was small, I was scrawny. I was like 63 pounds, and I didn't have enough strength in my arms to shoot the ball from the free throw line to the basketball, right, to get it into the thing. So I just used to have to throw it granny style. And I don't even know if I could get it into the basketball hoop through granny style, right? I was just a small kid. But so you take someone like me, right, and then, you know, somehow you make a, you know, even one shot, everyone's like, whoa, you made one shot, right? Because, you know, the person, you know, they say miskeen, right? The person is like, you know, such a poor kid. You feel bad for them. And this is something which is so beautiful about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when we mess up, many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't necessarily become angry with us. He just looks at us and just says, miskeen, shaitan misled them. Right? And even the Prophet ﷺ would talk about, like, when people would mess up, he said, Allahumma ghfirhum qawmun la ya'lamun. He said, yeah, Allah, just forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. Right? Miskeen. Poor people. Right? Poor person. And one of the things that brings this to light, this concept, is sort of a subtle discussion. It's sort of a fine point. So it's going to, you sort of have to pay attention to follow the argument. But there's an ayah in the Quran that says, "Ma yaftahi Allahu lin-nasi min rahmah." Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens for mankind, min rahmatin, fala mumsika lahu. There's no one to hold it back, right? وَمَا يُمْسِكُ اللَّهُ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُرْسِلَ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِ. And whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds back, فَلَا مُرْسِلَ, there's no one to do irsal, to send it, right, after that. So when you read this verse, one of the things that you see is that when it's talking about holding something back, the same word is being used, which is imsak. This is the meaning of, for example, som. Som is imsak, or holding back. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends forth rahmah, no one can hold it back. The fala mumsika, right? The word of imsak is being used there. And the same thing, wama yumsikullah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds something back, then no one can send it forth. But on the positive side, or on the other side, there's two different words which are used, right? On the one side, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about sending His rahmah, right, and opening His rahmah for people, He used the words fatah, right, like Surah Al-Fatiha, the opening surah. So how you open a door, fatah al-bab. So whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the door of mercy, no one can hold it back. And then whenever He holds it back, then the word that's used after there is not fatah. There's no one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if I hold it back, there's no one who can open that door. He doesn't say that. He said, فَلَا مُرْسِلَ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِ. There's no one who can send it off, right, after that. And irsal is like, it has the same root letters as messengers, rasul, right? It's where you sort of send something, right? When you can send a message or send something off. So what's the secret message here? There's one nukta here, and one nukta is that whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, say you have a door, right? And the door is closed. But inside the room, say there was $10. Whether the door is open or the door is closed, the $10 is still there, right? And on the same side, on the other side, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is holding back, say the $10, no one can send it. But in that situation, the $10 still exists. So in every type of situation, right, whether you're in a bad state or a good state, whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with us or he's not angry with us, he's still Rahman. His Rahmaniyat, his Rahimiyat is always there. Right? It doesn't go away. No matter how far we fall, no matter what we do, whether he's manifesting it and sending it out or not, that Rahmah still exists with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's one aspect. Now the second aspect is, a little, like I said, a little bit more of a fine point about this fatah and irsal. So when you open a door, right, does that necessarily mean that whatever is in the room, that you have it? Not necessarily, right? So if something was inside this room and the door was open, I can go and get it, but it's not necessarily coming to me, right? So there's still a little bit of an implication or a little bit of a suggestion where you have to make the effort to go inside the room and get whatever is inside there, right? The door is open now, but you know, you still have to get it. Although the meaning here, we won't translate it like that. The idea is when, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the door of mercy, meaning he's sending down mercy. Right, so that should be understood, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is opening the doors of mercy means he's giving mercy. But linguistically, there's still a little bit of implication of distance, where you have to, there has to be some bit of traveling from the individual to access that, from a linguistic perspective. As opposed to irsal, right? Irsal is like, you know, the bullet is loaded in the gun, you just have to pull the trigger, it's going out. Meaning it's like ready, like a dam is ready to overflow, and you just have to let it go, right? So it's much closer. So on when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about opening his mercy, right, there's, compare that, the first part of yaftahillahu linnas min rahmatin fala mumsika lahu, then he says wama yumsiku Allah, in those situations where even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is holding back his mercy, fala mursila lahu ba'd, there's no one who can send it forth, meaning that the mercy is still very close, and in fact it's like almost closer to you than in this other situation. And the way that you sometimes can understand this is that like, you know, we all want our kids to be really good and pious and so on and so forth, so when they always are doing good things, you know, and sometimes they'll do something, you know, minor, that's not really that bad, but we're like, you know, why aren't you revising the thing? You're going to forget your Quran. I mean, it's revision is important and all of that, but that's not the same as, say, when they like really mess up, like they do something really bad, right? And you caught them in the act of doing, they were stealing something, right? Or you saw them using the, you heard them, you know, writing the F word on their text or something, and you're like, you walk in and you're like, oh my God, right? And they're like looking at you with, there's a part of you like super angry at them, all of that, but there's also a part of you, them, that you don't want them to be in that situation, right? You want them even more than ever to be out of that and be back in that picture of perfection that you wanted for them, because that's your irada of khair for that individual. So in the same way, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in those situations where people earn the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when people earn their distance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's almost a paradox, but even when you're distant, that mercy sometimes can even be closer. So you should not feel shy to reach out at that point. Right? That's supposed to give us hope, that that's the point where, ya Allah, you know, I messed up bigger than I've ever messed up in my life, but this is the time where I need your mercy more than ever in my life. Right? And we also see this in this ayah that I read in the beginning, وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. Right? And as for the person who begs, فَلَا تَنْهَرْ, do not, you know, rebuff him. Don't put, send them off. And one of my teachers, you know, he would make such a beautiful dua. He said, Ya Allah, you told us, who are your ajiz, miskeen slaves, that أَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. If someone comes and begs you, don't rebuff them. He says, we're begging you now, right? And you're Malikul Mulk. You're the greatest thing. Don't you know, turn us away. And you know, and look, what does a beggar mean, right? A beggar in the world means a person who doesn't have, you know, any wealth. A beggar in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person who doesn't have any amal, right? A person who's, you know, lost all their wealth because of their bad deeds, because of their misdeeds, their missteps, their misguidance, the bad things that they've done, or their lack of good deeds. So they're the beggar that's coming to Allah. So when you ask like that, right, then there's also an implication that you can expect that Allah will give. And right after that, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. Then tell people about the ni'mah of Allah. And you know, people often think about this ayah in terms of, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me a Lexus, so I should let other people know about my Lexus. No, and that's not necessarily, I mean, there is that aspect of it, but it's also about the fact that, you know, subhanAllah, I messed up so bad, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let me come to Fajr the next morning, right? Ya Allah, I messed up so bad, and next year called me for Hajj. I messed up so bad, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't take the whole Quran away from my heart. I messed up so bad, and He still allows me to sit for dhikr. Allah, You're so Rahim, You're so Rahman. That rahmah is a ni'mah, right? So tell people, right? Tell people about how amazing Allah is. And give people hope about how merciful He is and how forgiving He is and how close that mercy is, right? It's like overflowing. Nabbi ibadi anni anal ghafoor rahim wa anna athabi huwa al-athabul alim. That tell my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no, you can sort of do tafsir of Quran with Quran. Wa amma bi ni'mati rabbika fahaddith. Tell people about the ni'mah of Allah. In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, wa nabbi ibadi. Tell my slaves, anni anal ghafoor rahim. That I am ghafoor and I am rahim. Right? I am forgiving and I am merciful. So tell people about me. Right? And what is the point of telling people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafoor rahim unless it is to motivate them to seek that mercy and unless it's to motivate them to seek that rahmah? So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us amongst those who actively seek the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all situations, even sometimes when we're, you know, down in the dumps and at our lowest points and when we need Him the most. Like Musa alayhi salam, he said, Rabbi lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Right? That whatever good that you give, that we're faqir and we're all fuqara at the end of the day. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.